If it's Friday and we've already had two guests disappear on us, then it's Bluegrass Bios on WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio. Our first hour we were going to have on Kevin Patterson. I don't know if he's out of the country or on some sort of a hiatus. He's the manager for the Beer Trap. He was going to come on and talk about their Sunday Beer School. We'll reschedule him. And then our backup plan for that was the wonderful Dr. Alex, who informed me this morning that he would have an emergency surgery to perform, so his priorities are obviously out of whack.
Totally out of whack. Do you think he's listening right now?
They should probably have that on in the operating room, right?
Yeah. They don't need to cause it.
I assume they have like Muzak in there. Otherwise, if you heard that sound, that is going to be our replacement guest, Lydia Jacobs. She hosts the show right after ours, Aging Adventures, from 2 to 3. Lydia, hi, how are you doing today?
Hey, y'all, I'm doing really great. I'm sad that I'm the third choice, but I'm ahead of people.
You could be, yeah, it could be a lot worse.
I could be a lot worse.
She's in here observing Ben with his spindly fingers. We also have media expert and journalist. Not also. He's kind of a big deal for us. Tom Martin is going to be coming on with us in the 1 o'clock hour. In studio, as always, some of the voices that you've already heard: Little Lex.
Hello.
Big Ben.
Hey, Carl.
And your host, 5'9", 5'10", on a good day, Kyle Bigelow here. You can tweet our show with your comments, your ideas, or maybe your marriage proposals.
Oh, wow.
At Bluegrass Bios.
For you, right?
Well, yeah. Wait, watch out, though, Austin, because I feel like Lexington is just a flower that's yet to be discovered by the world.
Thank you. I think
with a byline that we're all waiting
that
to
we're
see
searching
someday.
For.
Thanks. Thank you.
If you miss any of the show, this is big news. You can stream or download both hours by clicking on Bluegrass Bios under the podcast tab on LexingtonCommunityRadio.org, which is what I've spent my week working on. We finally got our page set up by Mike Elmore. Shout out to Ricerone University. So I spent 12 hours straight uploading all of our podcasts from as far back as the beginning of February. Like we've got like 50 hours almost of as this group. Obviously, I got here, all that stuff has disappeared. It's irrelevant.
I got some of it.
You've got some of it?
Yeah, lying around.
Okay, fair enough. We'll keep it in
irrelevant.
The pile.
It is mostly about stuff that has already happened.
Yes.
That's true.
But for archives, for historical sake, we're keeping it.
Well, yeah, that's part of it, too. So because I have to then put in descriptions and tag all of these.
You got to listen to it.
I have to listen to every second of it, which I typically don't do. Right. For obvious reasons. If anybody doesn't know, I'm sure everybody knows by now, if you're a person who's ever had to do some kind of a presentation, there is nothing worse than having to listen to yourself talk. I don't know what that is, what sort of evolutionary or whatever biological way that would have come about, but I can't stand listening to myself, Lex.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
no.
Can't.
When I do interviews and record them for print stories, I'll just try and skip over my voice.
Right.
It usually doesn't work, but
no. Well, I'd always tried to do that before, right? And we can just, all we have to do is take out the music, and then they're available.
But I've lucked out in that I don't think I sound like me.
You
on the radio? I think I sound like Adam Scott. On the radio.
Sorry.
You kind of do.
From Parks and Recreation, which is not how I sound in my everyday life.
Well, that's the
same. I'm doing something when I sit. I'm holding my nose. I'm, something.
I always listen
to
something
better.
And I think you have a very NPR kind of quality to your voice.
Thank you, Kyle.
But
the thing is, when I go through it and I hear myself say or like or you know, I am compelled to edit that out if I'm going to upload it.
You do have a tendency. Posterity. I'm only up to April at this point, mm-hmm. but that is one of your calling cards right there. Is that yeah. I think that it's to make sure that the guest knows that you're still conscious.
Yeah.
Or something, or the audience. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure.
A little bit of both.
But hey, I mean, everybody has tics, most of all me. And so what I'm doing as I go through these is also compiling the highlights and lowlights of our last 6 months. So once we actually finally get through the whole thing.
Oh, are we going to have a gag reel?
I think so. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, we've got a blooper reel.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's exciting.
Oh, I have something to add to that because of the one Lexington and I made for the holidays last year. Yeah.
Okay.
That's really funny.
The more the merrier.
Yeah. Oh.
So far the categories are worst questions.
Oh no.
Of which I'm currently in the lead.
Oh no. No, that's got to be that's on better. You. That's because you're going through them and you're hypercritical
probably.
Of yourself.
Oh, well,
I think we should have a poll on Facebook.
I agree.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, can we interact with this? We'll give our audience a choice and then they can vote.
Absolutely.
We'll see which one is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we'll see who sucks more.
So I don't want to wait because this is such a red hot idea. Typically shows will do this at the end of the year, but I feel like maybe this would be in the next couple of weeks, probably not next week, but the week after. We'll just spend
in honor of back to school. We will all be graded.
Yes.
And judged harshly.
Yes. Quite.
Okay. So, I guess that's quite a bit of self-indulgence, huh, Lex?
Right.
Okay. So, when I asked you this week, and I asked both of you to give me ideas for what you wanted to talk about, Lex, you said you want to discuss some of the Olympic stuff. So we're going back to Olympics.
Right. In the final week. I found it very interesting in watching the Olympics over the past 2 weeks is the portrayal of people of color in the Olympics and how for many sports and many athletes – The big story is, well, this is the first time someone of this race or has ever competed in this sport, and that's what makes them so special.
Or medaled.
Right, or medaled, or done anything. Simone Manuel, who's the water polo goalie,
I thought she was the
freestyle.
She was a freestyle.
Oh.
And then also the
water polo team. That those are big stories and big deals, and while obviously it's incredibly empowering for people of color to see this, it seems like it's coming a little late. It's 2016, and so kind of what I wanted to bring up to y'all is why is it now? Why is this the time that we're suddenly seeing all these new faces, and why hasn't it happened sooner?
Well, do you have a theory, or would you just like us to, you want to chastise us until we build a time machine and go back?
I mean, I don't know if there is a solution, and I understand that part of it is if you aren't able to compete in said sport, or if that's not a popular sport in your community, of course you're not going to compete in it.
I feel as long as it's a celebration of something, you know, a first, then that's fine. If it's exploitative, then I don't care for it. And it does, and the media coverage and television coverage does kind of toes that line very, very not so delicately sometimes.
Right.
But yeah, if it's just like, oh, this is the first female African American swimmer from the United States to win a gold medal.
Right.
Absolutely. You got to mention that.
Yeah.
Or medal
at all.
And she got tied.
Mm-hmm.
Still amazing. Yeah, just bring that to people's attention, and you never know who's watching, and that may have just been beyond their scope at that point, and they hadn't considered even taking swimming lessons, and now they're going to.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can't view progression retroactively, otherwise we're just going to keep wringing our hands for centuries, you know? Why didn't the civil rights movement happen a decade earlier? You know, I don't know, it just didn't. Some of this stuff, and we're talking specifically about African-American, right? I don't think that...
Well, Lori Hernandez is one of the first Hispanic athletes to be She isn't the first, but she's the first in a long time to be on the gymnastics team.
But we're talking about, okay, we're talking about American athletes, correct?
Right.
I'm sure that there's some stuff going on with race relations in Brazil among Brazilian mm-hmm. athletes. It's relevant, but Definitely. It doesn't show up on my timeline.
right. Well, one thing that I've noticed is just how multicultural the United States is.
Mm-hmm.
You can often tell who's from which country by their race. Often in, especially the one-on-one events, I have to wait for the announcers to find out which guy I'm supposed to be rooting for. As we have Asian Americans, we have Hispanic Americans, we have everybody could be. Mm-hmm. You see somebody, or you're told that one of these people is from the United States. There's no way you can guess based on on race who that person is, and I think that's just unbelievably cool. And you don't see that in a lot of other mm-hmm. countries. So in that vein, we're going to have a lot of firsts every 4 years, I think, just kind of based on our multiculturalism.
For sure. I mean, we had the first transgender gold medalist.
Oh, that's right.
Almost 40 years ago, or whenever Bruce Jenner was. No, yeah. All right, that was a bad joke.
But in that vein, the Olympic Committee ruled, and I don't entirely have the specifics here, that if your hormone levels are that of your preferred gender, you can compete in that. So the Olympics is opening itself up for more diversity as well.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see what happens.
Lex, you've been on hand in class when I got into trouble with this kind of conversation. And I'll keep this brief. For hormone levels, I think that covers pretty much every... Like, that, I would be fine with you know, swimmers being of the same or shot putters being of the same hormone level, because that has to do with muscle mass and strength. But there is a musculoskeletal difference between combat sports athletes that changing your hormone balance does not change. Bigger hands, bigger jaws, wider hips, like these. I agree that that's a good direction to be moving in, but I have a real hard time with just giving something like that a blanket check mark just because it sounds like progression.
Well, there has to be some trial and error. You got to see that we can theorize what will happen.
The problem with that stuff too is like it's literally dangerous, you know, like if they're, let's say we do that trial and error and it's not quite right, but we're just doing it with swimming. Mm-hmm. Well, then all we have is somebody that lost its swimming that maybe shouldn't have. If you're doing it in karate, well, maybe somebody gets seriously hurt. So that's the only caveat that I wanted to bring up, Lex.
Okay.
There was some, you know, part of the reason why a lot of this is important. Like there are relevant stories outside of just, hey, you know, somebody with a different skin color, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. With, Simone, is it Manuel, not Manuel, like a
Manuel?
Yeah, like a Manuel, not like a person named Manuel. Simone Manuel, When we're talking about, like, it's sort of a similar story to that was around when Tiger Woods was first coming up, and it has to do with segregation, right? Mm-hmm. There's a real clear demarcation with certain sports on segregation.
And pools plays into
pools
that.
Pools are one of the big ones.
Definitely comes into that, yeah.
For whatever reason, and you can foist your own theory if you want, that's been one of the major battlegrounds, battle waters for segregation, that still is sort of pervasive today. There was a, when pools started getting integrated, you would see,
that's when you saw the country clubs.
Yeah, exactly.
Private clubs. Pop up.
You know, there would be, communities would even do things like, I read today, put like harsh chemicals in the pools where it was primarily black people that would go to and stuff like that.
Yeah, that sounds like us.
There was an instance of some sort of, it was racism, or it was, prevention of somebody going into a pool in Pennsylvania in 2009. I read.
Well, and there's the video in Texas was from a pool party.
Right. Okay.
You have the girls who were thrown to the ground by her hair. Okay. That was at a public pool, a quote unquote public pool.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's one of those places like the golf course and the country club that gets.
Which is traditionally ultimately
been segregated.
And now that I'm getting older, I'm not watching sports with the same competitive vigor. You know what I mean? Like I'm not always, unless it's the Cats, go Cats.
Yeah.
I'm not really watching the NFL like rooting for whatever team or whatever player. But I do absorb sports more than I think any other genre of news, because it's a real easy entry point for these social conversations that we
have. Oh, absolutely.
You know, like Ray Rice, now everybody's talking about domestic violence in a different way. A lot of this, her name is Ibtihaj Muhammad. She's the first American athlete to compete and medal in fencing, right?
Very clever.
Wearing a hijab.
Yeah.
It's a real easy way, much in the same way that like jokes kind of break the ice, that we can take these very large issues and discuss them as a microcosm.
And also because you're representing your country in the Olympics and you're playing for the United States, that definitely affects people's attitudes.
There's
positively.
That's another good thing point too, right? The patriotism part,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, do you guys know what this story is around Gabby Douglas and the national anthem?
Oh, where she didn't put her hand over her heart. Yeah, I saw this coming at the time. Yeah, just watching it, I thought, oh no, this is going to be a thing.
Blasted for all of that. Well, within a couple of days. Michael Phelps, while he's at the on the gold podium,
laughing his butt off because some his buddies in the stands made a joke or a reference and chanted something, and it's not
a
thing,
right? And that kind of a lot gets to be a conversation now too, that maybe likes goes back to what you're talking about, that maybe these things are still so slow to happen because there is still a little bit in us as a nation of
like
seeing the other.
Yeah, how much progress have we really made? And while there has been progress, and we're definitely open to progress, and I think it's great everything that's happened, what potential for change is there, and what still hasn't changed?
You are not, according to the flag code of 1923, by the way, I looked up this morning.
Please.
You are supposed to, unless you are in uniform as a military member, put your hand over your heart. According to this old flag code, which is unenforceable, and there are some people that will say, unless you're taking a pledge, you don't actually put your hand over the heart. I was taught as a Marine, even if we're wearing civilian clothes, you just stand at attention and don't move the same way that she did.
I was told you don't walk around. And you look at the flag and you take off your hat.
Right.
You look nice and you're, for the most part, motionless. You're paying respect. You don't have to, you know, sing along or put your hand over your heart. Just show the modicum of respect for it.
I agree. I was surprised when I read this.
Well, I just remember watching it and just seeing, oh, she doesn't have her hand over her heart. This is going to be a thing. We're going to hear about this. And I was happy after a couple of days went by and I didn't hear anything. And then, oh, there it is. And of course, there was a presidential debate where guess who didn't have his hand over his heart at the beginning of the Republican
debate? I'm guessing.
Debate.
Oh,
okay.
No,
it rhymes with Grump.
Probably not Marco Rubio.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Let's touch on Ryan Lochte a little bit, because this
oh my
is
goodness.
Fascinating.
Idiot.
Just a little bit. Because it's talked to death, but I'm riveted by it because it makes no sense.
It really doesn't. Like I can't even imagine why. First of all, why you would lie. Why that would happen.
I have some theories about why you might lie about something like that, but couldn't say them on the air because they might be a little salacious. But
Hang on, Lydia wants to weigh in on this. Yeah, why don't you throw that mic over there?
Yeah. No. I was just saying, let's hear it, because why would he lie? I mean, this is huge. He's a superstar. He's probably at the end of his career. But why would you lie about this in a foreign country and go? It's just unconceivable to me.
Yeah. And I love the story of two guys who were on the plane, taken off the plane.
Right.
And
there were four of them, weren't there?
Yeah.
And one of them cooperated. He was
back at his hotel. I think this is the guy that maybe didn't have anything to do with anything.
Right.
So
and then,
he was just like, I'm not going down with you guys. I'm not taking off. I'm going to stay right here. Maybe I could leave if I wanted to, but I'm not going to. And yeah, is this just kind of like pampered athlete kind of thing? I can lie about this and nobody's going to question it and it'll all just blow over.
Well, and the thing is, Michael Phelps has taken so much heat for his drug use, which is illegal, but
it's not performance enhancing, though.
Right, and fairly privatized. I mean, he did it on his own. He didn't do it. I guess. I mean, there's really.
I believe he did it in a state where it was decriminalized, wasn't it?
Right. I'm not sure about that, but he got so much heat for that mistake or for that decision, and then Ryan Lochte does something illegal. And it's almost like, he lied.
No, that's not going away anytime soon.
No. Okay. He's going to have to deal with this for the rest of his life because he's not going to do anything else, really.
They brought it up in front of a judge in Rio.
Yeah.
So it got to the legal system there and will continue to.
Yeah, I don't think you can extradite him based on something like this. That's probably not going to happen. But he's just going to be hounded. I mean, did you see the two swimmers when they were taken off the plane? Were just bombarded. I think may have been when they got back to their hotel. Like every camera person within 10 miles just converged, swarmed on this hotel, and they were not given a microsecond of peace. And yeah, they're all going to have to deal with this. But yeah, you got drunk, you messed up a bathroom. Just take your lumps. I mean, just there's no way to get away.
I don't want to be a part of
cameras.
Right.
There are cameras everywhere.
Yeah. When Ryan Lochte is the leader of your criminal enterprise, then maybe move on. Speaking of moving on, we're going to play a song really quick.
Sure.
And we're going to come back with Lydia Jacobs, the host of Aging Adventures. This is Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community. Welcome back to Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community Radio. We are in studio with Lydia Jacobs. She's the host of Aging Adventures every Friday on 93.9 WLXU, what you're listening to right now. She comes on right after us, and she was in studio today to observe Ben and his various functions for the show.
You could do worse.
How are you doing today, Lydia?
I'm doing very well, learning a tremendous amount watching Ben, having a fun time talking to you all.
He is good, isn't he?
He is good. I just barely get by back there behind the board, but I'm learning.
Yeah, he learned at the prestigious Full Sail Academy down there in
Florida. And I learned here. I was here before half the people here.
I didn't know that.
I was almost here before Deborah.
Wow. That was a long time.
That's only a slight exaggeration.
LCR All-Star. How long have you been doing your show here, Lydia?
I've been doing Aging Adventures since January.
Okay.
And not too long, about seven, eight months. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And you were also on WLXL before, correct?
That's exactly right.
Okay. So you finally moved over to your native tongue also.
I moved over to my native tongue.
Could you tell us maybe what your show is about, what you guys talk about?
My show is about aging topics, aging issues, aging anything to do with aging or caregiving, what's going on in the city, conferences. Lexington is extremely senior friendly. We have a lot of, if not free, very minimal cost conferences for residents as well as professionals. But mostly what I talk about is stuff geared towards residents in the city. What's going on? What can you go do this weekend? What topics are in the news that seniors need maybe more information about or to hear? You know, right now, for the last couple of weeks, I've been having some people on talking about all these new senior housing facilities being built. Which of them are private pay? Which of them will Medicaid pay for? Which does Medicare pay for any of these? We've got a lot of new buildings going up, and some people don't understand what's the difference in long-term care, what's the difference in independent living. So we've been having a lot of talks about that kind of stuff, and you're sitting there with the most confused look on your face. See, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
No, I've got resting dumb face. That's all it is.
So yeah, we talk about anything that's pertinent to people who are aging and caregivers. Caregivers is a growing number of people. And we have caregivers who are not only caring for a parent, but they have young children. And that's called the sandwich generation.
Okay.
Why is it so important, and how does your show help to get the word out that people know about these things and these opportunities that are available?
Well, you know, when you get to be a certain, well, let me say years ago, when you got to be 65, you retired, you went home, you got a rocking chair, you sat on the porch, and you stayed there.
Yeah. Nowadays, now you apply to Kmart.
Exactly. Nowadays, people get an encore career, which is a second career. They're still working part-time, or they get a brand new job. They're taking care of
commercials are to be believed. They have to go sailing. They have to get into skateboarding.
Exactly.
They have to do all this stuff.
All of that. And people need to know where this stuff's going on, because Lexington is exceptionally aging-friendly. We've got a brand new senior center opening up, I'd say in about 4 to 6 weeks. Phenomenal facility. It will be state-of-the-art. People will come from around the United States to see this facility and what we have built here in Lexington.
Why is Lexington so senior friendly?
I don't know. We have the Sanders Brown Center on Aging. We have great professional aging community that works well with each other, even though they might be from one housing facility and another housing facility. They're trying to get the same people in, but everyone is geared towards each other, very friendly. And it's a good community for people.
Well, I've noticed one is the cost of living is very reasonable for Lexington compared to every other major urban area in the country. And two is a lot of people just don't leave. They don't want to leave. They don't want to go to Florida or Arizona. They kind of want to stay here and have seasons.
Right. And you know, we gripe about the weather, but we do have four distinct seasons. We have great cost of living. We're in a university town. If you're a spry 75-year-old like my mother, who still wants to maybe go to a bar on Wednesday night and have a beer and listen to a band, by gosh, you've got your choices. Or if you want to go down to the arts center and look at pictures or partake in something going on down there, we've got a lot of choices for seniors.
Or I know when I lived in the sorority house, our house mom went back to school. She was old enough. She was over 65. She got free tuition. She went to UK. She picked up a couple classes.
She went through the Donovan program.
Yes.
What a great program for people over age 65. You can take two classes a semester with the Donovan program at no charge.
Yes. And
awesome.
She loved it.
Good for her.
Yes. We would all sit in the house and do our homework together. It was great.
Yeah, I remember my great aunt got her bachelor's degree when she was 91.
Wow.
It was free for her to go. She's in Illinois. And yeah, just for herself. Her husband had passed away. She had plenty of retirement. She just wanted her degree.
And you know what? That made her feel so good, because she got that degree. And it kept her moving day in and day out. She had to keep her mind going. She had homework, you know?
Why is it so important for seniors to stay active and to stay involved in the community? How does that help them as they age?
That helps physically. If you're out, if you've got something to do every Monday and Wednesday, it helps mentally. You keep your mind going. You're out talking to people. You're not just sitting at home watching the Jerry Springer show. You know, you're out. You're up to date. You're talking about the athletes at the Olympics. You're talking about Ryan Lochte. You're talking about the Cats game coming up. You're out, you're hearing different stuff in the community. You might be talking about the new stoplight going up on Nicholasville Road. Whereas if you were at home, you probably wouldn't know that. And it just helps keep you engaged physically as well as mentally and emotionally.
As a caretaker or as a member of that sandwich generation, like you said, how hard is it to know what's going on in the senior community or in the aging community?
Well, here in Lexington, I'm kind of biased because, you know, I work in this city and in this field. But if you think about it, I'm just going to use female. If you're a female and you've got a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old child, one's in high school, one's in middle school, you've got your dad living with you, he's 80, he can't cook his own meals, you work full time, you've got to get your son to football practice, your daughter has to be at cheerleading practice, dad wants to eat at 5:30 every day. How hard is it going to be to keep up with what's going on? Oh my gosh. Well, technology has helped tremendously, as has Facebook and just having support groups. So as the aging community here in Lexington, we try to have conferences for caregivers, a one-day conference. Come find out how you can keep up to date, be it through a newsletter, be it through a support group, be it through a Facebook page, where you can just see what's going on, or listen to Aging Adventures, where I keep you up to date every Friday from 2 to 3, where you can hear what's going on.
You stole my line.
Ah,
we're on with Lydia Jacobs, as she said, host of Aging Adventures every Friday at 2 o'clock on this station. So, Lydia, is that part of you're talking about staying engaged to kind of help you? I don't know if you want to say feel young or just stay more involved, keep up with current events, whatever it is. Is that what this show is for you, Aging Adventures? Is this your outlet for your creativity, if you will?
I think most definitely, but I also think it's an opportunity for people, like I'm talking about, people that maybe don't have any family, they still don't drive, but they want to be engaged, and they can tune in the radio show each week, and they can hear, and maybe they can find a way to help while they're at home. They might call a couple of friends every week. They might volunteer to help through the Rape Crisis Center by just being someone to talk to. It's just a way for me, as well as people that I work with and people that I know, to come on and explain what's going on in Lexington for seniors as well as caregivers.
Who do you have on today?
Today is a recorded show.
Okay.
And it's recorded from last week. I really wish you hadn't put me on the spot. Who did I have on last week? Oh, I had on, she's talking about the Bluegrass Aging Consortium, which is a professional group that meets once a month. Just many different fields that meet for 1 hour, first Tuesday of every month. They talk about what's going on, any job openings, conferences, that's kind of like a place where I go to get a lot of information. Open to the general public, can come and attend. And we also talked about a new business venture she's working on, which is a place for caregivers or seniors to call and talk about if they need to move, what kind of facility is good for them, be it independent living, assisted living, personal care. And y'all got those looks on your face again, but those are all different types of senior housing places. So she will be on today as a recorded show.
Well, I wanted to ask you if, because, you know, what, just between us here, we're all just trying to produce a show. Like, where do you go to find your guests? Do they tend to be, like nonprofit organizers? Are they entrepreneurs? Are they just your neighbor?
Yes to all that.
Yeah.
Yes to all that.
Okay.
I think, you know, I have a good handle. I don't want to sound conceited, but I have a pretty good handle on what people are talking about. So I like to keep the show, as do you all, current. What's going on? What are people talking about? A couple of weeks ago, I talked about heat stroke and heat exhaustion. It was so hot. And I just try to keep relevant with what's going on and what people are talking about, and maybe digging deeper into what you don't get on the Herald Leader or LAX 18.
Okay.
I'm always open to suggestions, and I do get suggestions periodically through email.
What's been one of the biggest challenges of doing your show so far?
Overcoming, I hate to talk.
It is rough to do a radio show when you don't like to talk.
So I will say to you that in the last 7 or 8 months, I have become more outspoken.
Really?
I do. I don't like to talk. I want to just sit back and watch other people talk.
Has that bled over into your personal life at all?
Not too much, no.
you've kept it professional.
It really just happens Fridays 2 to 3.
Oh, okay.
You know, not much before and not much after. But I don't know. I'd say the biggest challenge is I want the show to be pertinent. I want people to tune in and know they're going to learn something.
Who have your favorite guests been, or if you have one that really sticks out in your mind?
Wow. I would say I had a lady on a couple of weeks ago, Janice Austin, who has written a book. She is one of the forerunners here in the aging community. I won't say how old she is, but she's definitely a senior. And we sat in the studio. We were actually in the studio next door. And we just sat and talked like we were just sitting at Starbucks having a great old time. And it was a great show. It was a great show. It was just like two women sitting and talking. And I had a lot of feedback on that show. So it was nice. I've had phenomenal guests. And if I had to pick one, though, it would probably be her.
Where can people go if they want to get a hold of you?
They can. I give my cell phone number out, or they can get my email. My cell phone is 859-621-4815, or they can email me, agingadventures@bgadd.org.
You need to get one of these STEAM Academy interns to run your social media.
I need to look into that. Yeah.
That's what interns are for. I've been one enough.
Here's a question for you. How has the aging community taken to all these different social media platforms?
Oh, man. Let me tell you what. Down at the Charles Young Center, which is just down the street here, they offer any senior can come in. They can show another senior how to work an iPad, how to work an Android tablet. What? Your phone will do that? I didn't know how. My grandson gets tired of showing me. He showed me 12 times. So they take time. They have one day a week down there. I think it's for an hour or two where you can come in with any question. Bring your electronic appliance, and we will help you work it out. Seniors are on Facebook. Seniors are doing Snapchat. Seniors love technology.
Is there a senior Tinder?
Oh, I bet there is. You know there has to be a dating app for seniors. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm going to have to go on and find somebody to come on and talk about dating online.
Yeah, they've probably made a mint, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I bet the women to men ratio is not equal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who do you think?
Women,
who's more?
Women live longer than men.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
No. Well, there's...
So if you're a man, you need to get on that app because you're going to get swooped up.
If you're looking for a... cougar? Sugar? I don't know what the proper term is.
And it's kind of gross hearing you try to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm just gonna stop. It didn't work.
Well, I know they're the sites for retirees, but I don't know if there's a specific app for them. We'll have to do some investigating.
I don't know, but that's given me an idea for a future show, y'all. All right.
A business venture right there.
All right.
What can young people do to be more aware of the aging community and the things they can do?
Oh, man, I would say call the senior center. If you just want to volunteer 1 hour a month to go in and just talk, seniors love to talk. Go to your grandmother's house. Go next door to your neighbor's house. Just spend 10 minutes to someone who is alone all day. Deliver a hot meal. Take over some brownies. Just brownies. Take over just some basic brownies.
Regular.
You know, just go
not
over
Michael
and check.
Phelps.
Not exactly. Just go over and check on them, especially in the hot summer, especially in the winter. But just every Thursday, say, you know, I'm going to start coming by for 5 or 10 minutes. Just check on you and make sure things are going good. It doesn't have to cost anything. It doesn't have to take much time. Just a few minutes with somebody who's aging can mean a ton.
You know, they should do is turn those senior centers into a poke gym. That would attract some young people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, I got a million of them a second here.
Yeah. He is an entrepreneur waiting.
Right?
That's right. Well, I should quit while we're ahead. We're on with Lydia Jacobs of Aging Adventures every Friday at 2 o'clock on this station, 93.9 WLXU. Thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me as a third choice, but hey.
It could have been worse. We could have had, we would have just pulled one of the faculty members out here. Tell us about geography. All right. So we're going to go to music here. We'll be back in a couple of minutes to chit-chat before we bring on Tom Martin in the 1 o'clock hour. This is Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community. All right, we are back on Bluegrass Bios. This is Lexington Community Radio. Lexington.
Yes.
Tell us about the guests that we're going to have on the 1 o'clock hour, please.
All right. All right, let's just preface this with I apparently did not read any of the text messages that were sent to me this week.
What's surprising about that is absolutely nothing, ladies and gentlemen.
I think you lied about sending it still, but that's okay.
Even though you just saw it on your phone.
Yeah. But we're going to have Tom Martin on. He's a journalist and media professional in the Lexington area, but he's worked outside of Lexington at a bunch of other newspapers and entities, media entities in the nation.
Right.
So excited to have him on. He is also the keyboardist for our beloved Patrick McNeese.
There we go. Not Steve.
Not Steve.
I'm very excited about this guest, and I have to give big ups to our man, GM Chuck Clenny out there, for hooking us up with another terrific Lexingtonian. So, Tom Martin, if you guys aren't familiar with the name, you're probably familiar with some of the publications that he's worked for. He's a Morehead State, not a grad. They told him basically at the new broadcast program there that they couldn't teach him anymore. So he went into he got his first job as a production assistant in Asheville, North Carolina, and then moved.
Oh, I've been to Asheville.
Yeah,
lovely.
Lovely Asheville.
Gorgeous.
Shout out to Asheville, North Carolina.
Absolutely.
Bounced around Virginia, South Carolina, and then just started getting into larger and larger markets, mostly for ABC. He was an ABC affiliate in Pittsburgh during morning drive news anchoring, and then through a story that he is going to tell, actually, because I want to give it all away. He ends up going to the Associated Press Network at its inception in Washington, D.C., and then from there had a very, very long career in New York radio, going to a few different stations before finally coming back to Lexington. He has written for, he was a co-publisher at Lexington Business, a bi-weekly, obviously business publication in town. He currently does feature articles for a Lexington culture website called Undermain. We're going to ask him about that. He does Q&A format podcasts for the Lexington Herald Leader. We're going to ask him about that. He's a consultant. He owns a consulting company for media relations, which is germane because one of the first jobs that he had when he came back to Kentucky was as a director of communications in Frankfurt. First for, I'm not familiar with this gentleman, but Lieutenant Governor Steve, in fact, this time.
Like, thanks.
Steve Henry. Do you know that name, Ben?
No.
Lydia, who's still in studio with us, knows Steve Henry. He now is an advisor at Transylvania University,
okay,
for their student newspaper, The Rambler. Good. So this guy, he's very busy. He's also got a Peabody that he won when he was in D.C., so we're going to ask him about that. They were sort of on the vanguard of monitoring listener habits, and he got his Peabody for best documentary. So we're going to ask him questions about that, and then generally just the state of journalism. I told him a few times, which actually it's an understatement, but I had told him on the phone when we were setting this up that he is the professional version of what we try to do. He's the astronaut compared to our,
bus cardboard
driver. Exactly.
Cardboard
like
space,
a lizard walking out of the ocean, basically. Like he is
our caveman.
Astronaut versus, and if you guys haven't heard his voice, let me tell you, like,
oh boy.
I don't know what they teach in New York on how to speak, but this guy is straight out of central casting for professional news voice. And he's also a musician too. So we're going to see kind of how those two things combine. Ben, if just switching gears really quickly here.
Sure.
Because we'll probably only go for about 10 more minutes before we wait for him to come in. We talked about Lexington's thing at the beginning, which was African-American and progressive. I don't know how you put it. How would you put it, Lex?
Increased diversity in Olympic athletes and the American Olympic team.
You know how I know that Lexington, her feelings are hurt or she's tuning out? Her doodling goes up like 200%.
Oh, I didn't notice that. You're that absolutely has. Right.
It's not true.
It is absolutely true. Oh. Yeah, it's
nervousness.
It's as not true as you receiving text messages from me. Mm-hmm. Now she's mad. Ben, you wanted to talk about, I guess, price gouging.
It's been in the news a couple of times lately. It caught my eye with the major increase in price to the EpiPen, which is life-saving for people. And I started digging a little bit, and I had a doctor's appointment. So I end up chatting with my GP just about certain things, and we were talking about this, and it became just sort of at the... It was in my frontal lobe when you texted us, say you needed a topic from us.
Right.
And so I did a little bit more digging. And let's see, what do we get? The International Federation of Health Plans has released its 2015 comparative price report. And these are some of the drugs, what they cost in other places, and what they cost here.
Okay, lay the best ones on us.
The best ones are Harvani, which is to treat hepatitis C, which is spreading throughout this country more and more. $16,000 in Switzerland, $18,000 in Spain, $32,000 in the United States.
This is for a four-week supply.
Four-week supply.
It's, wow, ridiculous.
And Truvada, prescribed to treat HIV and AIDS. This is 30 tablets. $559 in Spain. $689 in the United Kingdom. $1,301 in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some more. We have...
we don't have to go through
all of them. I think we're talking about some... angiograms, beyond medication, angiograms, $191 in Switzerland, mm-hmm. $1,164 in the United States. MRIs and colonoscopies are the same way.
Right.
And
okay.
So I found a few more articles. One is from, let's see,
Ben's rifle.
Source them. But Iowa State Senator Chuck Grassley sort of at the front of this, and he's worked on bipartisan legislation, status of which is to be determined. So this is something that I think both sides of the aisle are acknowledging as ridiculous, and something has to be done to sort of rein in these prices, because you're talking about people's lives, and we literally have people dying because they can't afford medication.
Now, is this is a any of these drugs, is there's essentially a monopoly on them?
Well,
right?
There shouldn't be, because after so many years, you're supposed to go to generic.
Okay,
they're blocking the advent or the market. Generics going to market, yeah, and generics are going up inexplicably. We have medications that have been around for almost 100 years. That have in the last 10 years tripled in price. Now, that's for the average citizen. That also means a copay triples in price, or deductibles, because what that happens is it goes from being a tier one medication to a tier three medication, or, God forbid, a pre-approval medication. I don't know if you've ever been through that. I've been through that. It's a nightmare. They always reject you the first time you apply for approval. So now you're dependent on your doctor to fill out tons of paperwork for you, because they can't have paperwork from you. Has to be stuff from your physician in your hospital. And you just have to keep the pedal to the metal on all that. And it's not their jobs to fill out paperwork five or six times. Mm. They're supposed to be treating illness and seeing patients and not filling out paperwork when... for a drug that shouldn't require. You should just take your doctor's word for it and approve it based on that. There is a very good article written by Suzanne McGee of the Boston Globe and her experience with her pain medication. It's pain medication that's been around since, I believe, the 1930s. And it's tripled in price. And what she found out was there isn't a standard for what drugs cost. They just kind of throw prices out there. They haven't given us a rhyme or reason for it. We have very few statistics on it. They just kind of put a drug out there. Maybe it'll be priced low at first. Maybe it'll be priced high. And then it just kind of fluctuates around. And I think they see insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies see the new healthcare plans and Medicaid Part D as a cash grab. And they're testing to see what they can get away with. We've all heard that story about the true piece of work who tripled. What was this guy? I want to make sure I get this guy's name right.
Shkreli.
Martin Shkreli.
Yeah.
Yes, who took
winner of most punchable face.
If there's an opposite of the Nobel Peace Prize, we give it to this guy. Daraprim bought the company. Increased it from $13 a pill to $750 a pill until he was shamed over social media and then investigated by the federal government. And guess what? You probably shouldn't do stuff like that if you're involved in insider trading. Low profile is what you want to keep, I think, in that situation. And
he's bankrupt now, apparently.
Good. That's good. Good. Well, happy ending that story. So this is an open-ended one. Where we got to figure out, we have to have some kind of, apparently, this market cannot regulate itself. And we're not seeing an invisible hand of the market determining price. We're seeing people prevent competition. So we've got to create some kind of standardization for medications, get it to people who need it to live and who need it to have some quality of life and who need it to be able to get to work. So a lot of these people, they fall off their medication. They can't afford their medications anymore, and they can't work anymore. And that's a taxpayer. So we want those people productive, and they want to be productive. They don't want to sit around all day. Nobody wants to sit around all day and do that.
You hear that, Big Pharma?
Yeah.
Ben's coming after you.
I am coming after you.
All right. Did you get it all out of your system? I have nothing to add to that. Yes, I agree.
I think so.
Let's not price
gouge.
That
was quite a rant. That was one of my better rants.
And that's going to be one of the categories, ladies and gentlemen, when we unveil. I also have Lex-isms on there.
Oh, wow.
And Kyle-isms and Ben-isms. So
it'll be fun
just to go through. Because you start hearing patterns the longer you go. And and soliloquies would be one of your, if you'll accept that.
Oh, yeah.
Ben,
I'm terrified to know what my isms are.
Okay. I know I say quite a bit often.
Well, often. You just added to that total, too.
Cha-ching.
All right. We were expecting Tom Martin in here any minute. When we come back, it'll be to our theme song, one of his pieces.
Yeah, we'll come back on that.
North Limestone by the Patrick McNeese Band. Until then, stay with us. This is Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community.